This morning's scripture, Ezekiel 16 and 49, is a picture of Israel, a picture of Judah. And it was they were called Sodom and Gomorrah. It was an allegory. The title of our sermon this morning is Rebels and Covenant Breakers. It's going to be from our series, Scattering. Also coming from and closing out the book of Kings. Because God set forth this allegory by Ezekiel, which was the prophet in captivity. And he was speaking to Judah, the people of Judah, which had been carried away captive in Babylon. And they had rebelled against God. They had broken all of his covenants. All of the opportunities was gone. And he allegorizes them as Sodom. In other words, a lot of people picture and look at Sodom and say about homosexuality and the things that were going on then. But see, just as the church is today, so were Judah during the time, the reason God took them into captivity. They had taken his promised land in which he expelled the Canaanites. He had expelled the inhabitants. They did the same thing and even worse. Same thing that the church is doing today. They're doing the same thing that the Jewish people did. They didn't glorify God. They didn't repent and turn from their sins. And he said that their sin was pride, fullness of bread. In other words, a time of abundant prosperity, a time of peace, a time things was there, but they were given to idleness. They were given to times of not witnessing and glorifying God as we're not doing today. We're not glorifying God. We're not bringing him glory in our life. We're not walking in that glory. And he says, as was her and her daughters. In other words, just like with the church today, the Catholic Church and its Protestant daughters, so was Judah, its prophets and priests. So were Judah with its political leaders. And it says, neither did they strengthen the hand of the poor and needy, just as the so-called Christian political people are doing today. They are oppressing the poor and needy. They are getting wealthier and wealthier. They are having more time off, but the poor and needy have to work more and more time just to make ends, not meet, but to make ends come almost close to me, because it's a lot that they have to do without. So God had sent Babylon. He sent them to take them into captivity. He told Nebuchadnezzar to go and get them and bring them here. They had broke all my laws. They're rebels. They're not going to listen at me. He spoke to his servant Nebuchadnezzar and said, go get my people and bring them here. Bring them and put them in captivity. And through Jeremiah, he says, Jeremiah, they're going to be there 70 years. A year for each day that they didn't keep my Sabbaths. A year for each day that they didn't observe their yearly Sabbaths. A day for each year that they didn't observe the year of Jubilee. They will stay there doing that captivity. He speaks to that church again in Revelation. And like I say, it's applicable to churches of all ages, all times, and not just one particular church. He says, the devil shall cast some of you into prison and you'll be captive 10 days. In other words, just like the church was carried away captive, just like God's chosen people, we're in Babylon now. We're in Babylon. The church is in Babylon because Babylon is the world. That's why he says, come out of Babylon, my people. Come out of her. It's not geographical, it's spiritual. It's spiritual Babylon. Come out of the world and love not the world. We have to sanctify ourselves right in the midst of this evil generation. God preached repentance consistently throughout the Bible. Repentance has been preached and his people have been rejecting repentance. And when he gave his son, he gave his Savior, Jesus Christ, that became a stumbling block a rock of offenses to the Jews and to the Christian people because they use it as something to fall back on and have liberty in their sins and to justify their sins. So, oh, didn't Christ die for the sins of the world? Didn't he die for our sins? Yes, and it's going to tie a rope down your neck and drag you down like a millstone because he didn't die to save you in your sin. He died to save you from your sin. That's why the book of Romans says, shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? God forbid. As John was preaching to the Pharisees and he was preaching to the people, he said, who had warned you to flee? Because the Pharisees was coming and getting baptized also. And that's the same thing today. People get baptized. People go to church. And just as during Ezekiel's time, say, Ezekiel, they're not going to listen to you. They wouldn't listen to me. They will come to church. They will sit there and say, let's hear what he said because it sounds good, but we're not going to do it. They will come in there. They're not going to open up their hearts and let this word do a work in them. John the Baptist called them vipers, a brood of serpents. He says, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. In other words, bring forth a life showing that you are walking in me and that it comes to what this stage of his blood atoning for you and that one had washed away your sin. Don't keep reveling in your sin. Don't keep sinning and keep bringing it back up on Jesus Christ, the blood. If you understand what Jesus did, understand and discern the body of Jesus Christ and see your unworthiness, you'll realize that each time you sin, you just drive another nail into his hand. He says, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So we shouldn't continue in sin. God forbid. See, a lot of people think grace covers it. Grace does cover a multitude of sin. But not willful sin. That's presumptuous and high-minded sin. We've seen that even with sin of ignorance, that you need to pray to God to show him, to ask him to show you where are you sinning at so that you can stop that sin. Iniquity is the legalization of sin, and that's what we've done. We've legalized sin in our life so that we can live any kind of way as long as we think we have a Savior. But it's going to come a day when many of them will come in and say, didn't I do this in your name and didn't I do that in your name? But see, you hadn't allowed the word to be applied to your life and washed and cleansed you. That's why John told him, say, the axe is laid to the root of the tree. It's going to cut out the root and the branch. In other words, every tree that my heavenly Father hadn't planted, the roots could come up. In other words, it's not going to grow back. It's going to be cut down and hewn and thrown in the fire. He's going to pluck it up and pluck it out. It shows a changed life. Have your life changed or you doing the same things you did before you confessed Christ? Before you did this walk, are you still doing the swearing and cursing? Are you still having the same evil thoughts? Are you still with the same filthy conversation and the rudeness? Or your life has been changed and there's been a note that you have met Christ. See, because a lot of people say, well, look, I can tell that this person has met Jesus. I can tell something about this life. Because once you meet Christ, you're never going to be the same. If you truly meet Christ, now you can profess Christ and not show a changed life. But there's a difference from profession. We're going to look at Zedekiah this morning. And in the book of Kings, it happened from the 17th to the 24th chapter, and it says, and the king of Babylon made Mattanah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. And I tell you, this guy that we have that's running for president, he is another Zedekiah, a man without a spine, a man without a backbone, a man without any reference to God. Zedekiah didn't believe in God. He wasn't recognized as king by God. Babylon had made him king just like the world is trying to make this man president. Money is making him president. The things of the world is trying to make him president. The people are buying this election. It's not by God. It's not a democratic process. It's by lies and the wrong foundation, the same way Zedekiah. But see, when you make a covenant to become a ruler, that covenant is with God. That's just like your marriage covenant, your covenant when you go on that job. Any kind of covenant that you make, God is the executor of that covenant. That's who the executor of that covenant is. He made him swear oath that he was going to do all according to what the king of Babylon had told him to do. We will see later on he rebelled against this. He rebelled against the king of Babylon. And God said, you know, I'm tired of these people. They repented under Hezekiah and reconfirmed the covenant and took Passover. They did it under Josiah. They keep coming here confessing. He says, I'm tired of their holy, their assemblies. I'm tired of their offerings. I'm tired of all these things. Away with them. You know, it gets to a point that people get tired of you saying the same old thing and you don't change. It's the same old thing in your butt. The dog keeps returning to the body. The hog back to the mind. You're not stay clean. See, Paul said he who preached in the word that present them a chaste virgin unto Christ. They preach this, that you need to mortify your members, that you don't allow sin to reign in your mortal body where you obey it in the lust thereof. So, verse 20 of chapter 24 says, for through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah until he cast them out from his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. This was the man that made him king. Just like when this guy get in and the nation's not to go for a lot that he do or whatever, what's going to happen is the Tea Party will put shackles on him because he's agreeing with that party that he's going to follow their hard line. And that hard line is going to take him somewhere he don't want to go. But he's going to try to rebel, and that's what caused the problem here. Zedekiah thought that Egypt was going to be able to help him, but this was from God. This was a binding agreement, and he swore in the name of God, in the name of the God he didn't even know. In the name of a God he didn't know. So there's going to be tribulation. There's going to be tribulation to us as a nation because we are part of this nation and a part of the bad decisions this nation has made. So it was rain on the just and the unjust. It was a lot of good people that were carried into captivity. It's a lot of good people that's always involved in things. God has always had a remnant. And when Christ came, when he decided to be incarnate and come down here to save man, he knew that he was going to have to suffer. He knew he was going to have to live as a man because if he didn't live as a man, he couldn't redeem us because for us to be redeemed, we have to walk as he walked. And how did he walk? He walked in the word of God, having faith in God, having faith in the word of God. So we have to have the faith of Christ and faith in Christ. The faith of Christ was to do the will of God. The faith in Christ is that he's going to help you do the word of God. That he's going to help you to walk in this. That we're going to have to arm ourselves of that same mind. That we're going to have to lay aside our prides and prejudice and all of our earthly lusts. All of our earthly ways. We're going to have to die to ourselves. The book of Acts says, but ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and kill the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name had made this man strong, that we just healed. That's what gave him this power. It's not nothing of us. It's this man you killed. It's this stone that you rejected. That's this power, this spirit that's working in us. See, the apostles brought glory to God, but not so for Judah. Not so for the Jews. The Jews had rejected God. They didn't stand up on God's word until this very day. They do not accept Jesus Christ. They believe in God, but not in Jesus. See, but the times is coming to an end. The time of Jacob's trouble is going to be here. It's up on us. That time is going to be for Jew and Gentile, because there's no difference in Jew or Gentile in Christ Jesus. And the only way the Jews are going to be saved is the same way the Gentiles will be saved. And that's through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. So for those idiots that when they come tell you about the Jews and things and all this about, get away from it. That's false brethren. Because there's no difference in Jew or Gentile. There's no difference. We're all the same. There's no great advantage. The advantage they had during those times was that the oracles of God were delivered unto them. Well, the advantage that we have today and the instrument that we have today is that the Spirit of God has been given to us and the Word of God has been given to us, and we are the Jews. The circumcision is inward. It's of the heart now. So that circumcision in our heart makes us Jews. If you want to use the terminology of Jews, because all of Israel is not Israel. All Jews are not Jews. So let's get that distinction out of the way, because that's what's the trap you today is false religion. They said, the faith which is by him had given this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want not that you would be ignorant, as did also your rulers, but by those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer. That's not what the religions are teaching today. The religions are teaching you to live a different way. You see, but it says, must suffer. And that's the way we went in the same way. He had so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto you, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which hear not that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. If you don't hear what Jesus said, and that's why he prayed for the apostles and sanctify himself. He said, I pray that they believe on me through their word. See, that's what we need to be doing wherever we are at. We need to be speaking the word of God. We don't need to hide that light or put it under a bushel or fool around with people whereas we can't speak the word of God. If we speak not that word, woe be unto us. If we hide that word, we will grieve Jesus Christ. Paul knew this. Paul knew about this suffering. It says in Acts 17 and 2, and Paul, as a man of was, went unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Christ. The same way that we rise up in newness of life each day. Each day that we walk and rise up, we get our marching orders from Christ. We pray to him. We ask his leadings and guidance and direction that day. So we are purpose driven by the will of God to fulfill his word, because we're walking in the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is in the midst of our heart. So we're directed by Christ. We pray to him and read and study his word. He arms us with the Christian armor. And he's speaking to us, and we die daily. So it's not our will, but we're out there dying. We take up our cross and deny ourselves each and every day and follow Christ. No matter what this world is doing, we have to do as Jesus did. See, and when they were carried to Babylon, as I told you, they were allowed to form their own communities. Nebuchadnezzar allowed that. That's why he allowed this to happen under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. They had little Jewish communities. They had synagogues. You see, that's how in California, whatever you are, New York or thing, you go in there, and each little district got its little Irish district, its little Chinese district, its little... Well, they had those things where you could worship your God. In most of these countries, the reason they did that also is that all of them, if you notice, Nebuchadnezzar even worshiped Daniel's God. He said, Daniel's God is the God of all gods. See, because they had a pantheon of God. In other words, they could worship your God, but your God wouldn't allow you to worship their God. See, we're monotheistic. If you, for Jesus Christ, you only believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's only but one God. You see, but they believe there are many of God. And see, that's why they allow these different things. Christ, God has all this worked out. And they, some of them, live for God. That remnant that went through, the teaching that held fast, those people, that remnant that God saved, still exists. The thread of the church from the apostles' days still exists. Now, I'm not saying it's the church corporate, the whole body of the church, but it's that remnant inside the church that's still holding God's word. Right now, like I said, the world is our Babylon. But we have to come out of the world. So it's not every Christian that's in church that's living with the world. They're separated from the world. They're light under the world. It's the majority are going to Broadway, that they're sitting in the church. They're leaving the churches and doing the same thing that the unchurched people are doing. And they're partnering with people in the churches that are doing the same corrupt things. That's the majority. But the ones that are going the narrow way, they sanctify themselves. In other words, the word of God consecrates them, because I can't follow you to that same excess of rioting and doing what I used to do. I can't sit around here and play cards and domino all day and watch television. I have to redeem the time, because the days are evil. You see, God's servants must be found working in the presence of knowing that we don't know what time he's coming back, but we must be found serving and giving out the word of God. We have to labor to an end. So, as they continue on, he says, where Acts 26 and 19, and he was before King Agrippa, and Paul was saying, "Oh, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn from God." See, repentance meaning turn from your way of life. God does save you, and that's the problem with a lot of professors, see, because the Spirit of God, action could come up on you. But that repentance, the churches are not teaching repentance for the and remission of sins. They're not preaching justification. They're not preaching the whole counsel of God. There must be a turning away from the old man. That man has to die. They're not preaching that man has to die. You have to turn from your sin. You can't continue in that. You cannot. You have to present your body as a living sacrifice unto God to make it holy and acceptable unto him. In other words, you have to purge yourself of self. You have to empty yourself, just like he emptied himself and he thought it not robbery. You understand? That you have to be in the form of man, but with the mind of God. You have to realize that you are birthed into a family of nobility, and that your body is not your own. I can't do what I want to do with my body anymore. I'm living for another. I'm married to another. That's adultery. It's spiritual adultery if I fornicate, if I adulterize with some other religion, if I do these things. I have to walk according to his statutes and judgments, his precepts, and he will give me more power. That's the faith in him. He will give me more power to live that way in the midst of a perverse and evil generation. It says, turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Remember we said, not that works save you, But if you have faith, you can see your faith by your works. Faith has works. A faith without works is dead. It's a dead faith. If you don't have works, you have a dead faith. He says, "For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and if they did it to him, they could do it to us, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people." And we have to walk in that light as he's in the light. We should have no fellowship with evil works of darkness. We shouldn't have any fellowship with that. We should shun that. We should shine the light on that to dispel the darkness. That's what light does. It dispels darkness. That's what Abel's sins did to Cain. It showed his sins up. If you're on a job and you work all the time, the ones on that job that are slackers, that are idle, that like to just talk and not do anything, they're not going to want you around. They will think you something else. But that's what makes us peculiar people, because we work unto man as we work unto the Lord. We're faithful to all men and we love God. And it says, as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning do it make thee mad." But he said, "I'm not mad, most notable Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely." Festus didn't know this. He didn't understand it. But Paul knew. King Agrippa did. Agrippa was smarter. He was the king. He realized this. Agrippa said, he said, "For I am almost persuaded of these things are hidden from," he says, "but none of the, I'm almost persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner." And King Agrippa, "Believest thou the prophets? I knowest that thou believest." See, Paul had the discernment. When you're preaching, you can understand the ones that are getting. See, I can stand up here. When the preacher's preaching, he knows which of y'all ears are opening to him. He knows which of ones are saying, "You know, I hope you hurry up so I can get to that basketball game. I hope, you know, I'm thinking about lunch." He knows which one's spouse is saying, "You know, that's some stuff. You ain't got to listen to everything." God gives him a discernment. If he's walking in the light, he gives you discernment. You know people when they're making faces and when they're turning their eyes or the emotions. And that. If you don't, you can learn it. God's going to equip you with those things because of the world we work in. You're not going to have it just by human discernment. It's fallible. You know, you can't detect that if you're human. But the spiritual man judges all things. And so what happens is Paul knew he had to suffer in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that. Because if you read Acts 9 chapter, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for the name of the Lord." Why Paul had to suffer so many great things for the name of the Lord? Why did Paul have to suffer more than the rest of them? Why bad things happen to good people? See, Paul, he killed those that named the name of Christ. Did you know that God had put a law into effect? And that law falls upon you, whether you believe in it or not. It's just like the law of gravity. Whether you believe in it or not, it's going to come about. The law of sowing and reaping was in Paul's life. For all that suffering he caused others to suffer, he was going to have to suffer. If you go around criticizing everybody, you know most people will criticize you and talk about you. If you go around frowning up and talking to people in a negative, in a bad way, that's the way people will talk to you, and that's the way your life's to be lived. What a man soweth, that he shall reap. You go around being tight. If you go around whatever a man soweth, if you go around vindictive, if you don't go around trying to exhort and bring others up, if you don't try to turn people to God, you'll reap the same thing. That's the law God put into effect. You know by his book. So that's why you start going back and telling your children, son, don't do this. I did that and I got in trouble. I have experience over this. And you explain. That's why it says when that spirit comes upon you, the spirit of Elijah, you notice that a man's family comes back to him. That your sons and daughters come back into your life. Your relatives come back into your life. Because you know what? It was you that ran them away. It was your iniquity. It was your sin. You have to get self straight before you can get your children straight. You have to take that beam out of your eye. Because it was your iniquity who have separated you from the Lord thy God. It was your life living. And see, that's why a lot of people choose Christianity, because Jesus forgive you. You say, but you got consequences for those sins. You have to suffer the consequences. Look at chapter 25 here. God took him to Babylon and he tore up everything that they had because he placed them in the midst of false brethren, because that's what they worshiped in the promised land. Was false brethren. So he put them around people that was backstabbing, prophets that were taking advantage of them, and he gave them leaders after their own heart. People that were just as crooked as them. People that thought about money and material just like they did. It was a replica of what they did, and that's what's happening to the church today. That's why we have so much many false leaders, because the people are false. They love darkness rather than light. And go to the book of Daniel, and we'll read there. And this happens, Antiochus Epiphanes was a type and shadow of this. Also, we see it in our political leaders today. Rising and speaking great swelling words, but we've been placed under their power. Because we're the one who've given them that power by electing them. By putting them in these offices, we gave power to these wicked things. And the ones of us that didn't give power to that, we should have been witnessing against that. We still should walk against that. We shouldn't conform to that just because it's the popular view. Daniel 11 and 32, I tell you to go there. It says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatterers. See the first condition here? There's a condition there that you can flatter those that are corrupt by nature. In church, there are different people who have a propensity to work against God's word, that don't believe God's word and to twist God's word. Those are the ones that are vulnerable to false prophets. Those are the ones vulnerable to listen at anybody. God had set before you life and death. He told you to choose good. But now at the time of your ignorance, he sent his prophets to open up your understanding and give you light. But if you're so smart, you're reading the Bible and you're going to church and you're making wrong decisions, is that God making those decisions, or is that because of desires, evil desires and intents within you, in that God is allowing you to harden your heart? If you notice where I'll tell you Wednesday night when it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. But what happened? Pharaoh had already hardened his own heart. God had told you the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. But see, instead of rejecting that word and applying it to your life, when he showed you that light, instead of walking in that light, you went and hid that light and continued to do wicked. You thought you were saved. And you didn't follow. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you didn't continue in the word of God and let it wash you and cleanse you from your sins. See, that's why we have foot washing. It's because day to day in the earth, you will get dirty coming in contact with the people in the world. Have you ever talked with someone and you felt so filthy after being just around that person in that person's presence? Just to hear them talk, just to think of their evil ways, their thoughts, and the things that they were saying. You know, let me get away from around this guy so I can think more clearly. That's why you have to set apart. Let me wash myself. In other words, let me go back and study the Word of God. Let me pray for this guy. Praying helps remit those sins back to him. That's why it says, pray for your enemy. That I was talking to you and all this you did was trying to lead me away from God. Because you were talking about your women. You were talking about what you were doing. You were talking about judging and everything. I was talking with my son the other night about this young man that killed himself doing this chase the other day. And I was really hurt. As I was listening at the news, I say, before anything, I want to hear and read what's going on with this young man. See, because life puts us in those situations and everything, and he that is spiritual judge it, and that the way you judge it, it's not physical. I'm saying, I hate that this drove this man to this. I'm having compassion for him. I'm feeling sorry for him. I have empathy. I empathize with this guy. This morning I was reading where his wife was saying, he was a real good man. He was a good father. He was a better parent than she was. He had been to the casino. He had lost some money or whatever. And different things was going on in his life. And things had crowds upon us all. You see, but he didn't realize that there was a God on his side. And they say when he said, and ran into a pole, when the cars broke, I think this is the end of the line. He was on the phone with her saying, I think this is it. I think it's over with. And she was saying, no, if money ain't and everything, we can get through this. And she heard pow, pow. You know, that's where my empathy was. That's where my sympathy was. That they had to hear this, that she had to hear this, that this has to be seen this way. See, what drove a person to that is the society we have. It's the legalization of sin. And we're opening up another casino real soon here. And all this to supposedly keep educational flow, and the politicians are stealing the money from education. It's not going where it's going. You see, all this society causes man corruption in all his woes. It's a capitalism society, a capitalistic society that's based on greed. It's based on waste. And I tell you, that's just distribution of fortune. See, we don't understand what Jesus Christ spoke when he was talking about money. That's why he said, who had made me a ruler, a judge over you? See, that's why he rebuked the man at that time, because he hadn't come to get the finances and the things of the world straight. See, because you have to get the world out of your mind if you don't get tangled up in this system. And some of the people got tangled up in Babylon. I told you they didn't come back because God had made them wealthy and prosperous, and they didn't have room for God, just like a lot of the politicians and Christians today that have wealth, that has money. But these are the ones that I couldn't come in contact with. I told you some of them's names I can't even mention anymore. I tell you, some of them I hate to even think about because they blaspheme in the name of Christ. They're not by works showing that they've belong to God. They're lost. They have a form of godliness, but there's no power in it. There's no power. And God says, fear not these people. You see, because they're false apostles, false Christ. They're in false churches, and you have to be that aware of it in the world. The very person that you out there talking to, talking religiously to, may think, well, we're on the same page, and that's my friend or whatever. No, we ain't either, and that's what got us apart. Because if they're friends of mine, or they're somebody that I know, we never talk religion. Because God say, if you're in the world, your knees must go out of the world. Say, if a brother be a fornicator or do anything, in other words, a person that's a Christian, if they live the way some of these politicians do, like this guy, Gingrich or whatever, been married all these times and still saying by the name of Christ? You mean to tell me people treat poor people the way they do, or treat other people, and you still name the name of Christ? I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to be even seen in the same place as you. So it's a lot of people on my job. They used to go to church all the time. Well, what about you think? I want you to get away from around me. We don't talk religion on the job. But Rabbi, I go to church every day, this and that. Get away from around me. Because why? My religion and your religion conflicts. Now, either you listen as I talk about this, because we don't serve the same God. That's a different Jesus you serve. You see, that's what you're going to have to stay clean in Babylon. That's how Daniel stayed clean. He was a leader. He was one of the high officials. And they say, you know, the only way you could trap Daniel is something to do with his God. So we're going to make an edit. And if they pray to God, any man caught a scene praying and not praying to the king, they'll be thrown in the lion's den. That's the way they tried to trap the Hebrew boys. They say, any man that don't bow down and worship our gods, they'll be thrown in the fiery furnace. Well, king, you have to throw us in the furnace. We high in your administration. We respect you and everything, and I give honor to where honor is due. But we're not going to bow. We're not going to bend. So you can do what you want to do with us. And see, that's how you have to be in the world here. You have to be in the world, but not of the world. You have to not love the things of the world. That's what corrupts us, loving the things of the world. Because it appeals to our lust. It appears to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. It says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, and they shall understand among the people, and among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame and by captivity and by spoil and many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try help and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it's for a time appointed. So it's going to be a lot of us that undergo the sword, that undergo torture, that undergo death. But it's a time in which a lot of us are going to be strong and go through. It's a lot of us will continue to preach and teach God's word. As in Babylon, they had cut up all of the gold, all of the silver, everything that was in the temple. They took their homes and everything. People can take stuff from you. But you can't allow those circumstances to deny you of God. That you have to continue, as Job says. The devil had, Satan had taken everything Job had. But he says, yet will I serve God. He was going to continue to serve God. During the time of tribulation, during the time that we are in this world, you need to purge yourself. We need to apply this to our lives, that we can't be like Zedekiah. And when the people hear this story, did y'all read Kings here where what they did to Zedekiah, what Babylon did to Zedekiah, that first they kill his children, his sons, right before his eyes, and then they put his eyes out. And a lot of people think about Nebuchadnezzar and everything. But didn't we do the same thing? Didn't this nation do the same thing? When they went to the Iraq war, Rumsfeld had them kill Saddam Hussein's sons. They laid them out and killed, tortured, and killed them. They established Guantanamo Bay for a torture camp for these people to try to make themselves feel secure, to make it safe for us. The Babylonians and the Assyrians were some of the worst people. But even though God allowed them to afflict his people, he still turned around and destroyed them. See, because the evil was within their hearts. It is within a many a Christian's heart to do evil and to do you wickedly. You have to be careful of Christians. Those are some of the worst ones. Those are the ones that raise the worst wars. But it's in their heart to do evil. They do it in the name of God. It says, will come a time that they will put you out of the synagogue and they will kill you all in the name of God. And, you know, a lot of Christians will kill you over their job. That's what they're saying. It's that this, it's about not job security. It's about a lifestyle and all of these things. But it's not. It's not. It's about the pride in their hearts. It's about the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. So we must be sanctified. We must be set apart. We must depart from sin. We must continue in Christ. And pull off the old man continually. No matter how long that this captivity, this siege lasts, we got to be as Daniel. We got to keep studying God's Word, walking in God's Word and doing God's Word, though we in a strange land. Though it looks like the enemy is winning, we can't commit treason and go over to the other side and serve the other side. But we also can't, what they call it, consorting with the enemy. There's been movies out a lot of times about this, saying sleeping with the enemy. See, God warns us the enemy might have his head on that pillow right next to yours. He says a man's enemies will be those of his own household. They're going to be your wives, your husbands, your children, your relatives. But see, God wants to open up your eyes. He wants to show you those that can cause you harm so that you can walk circumspectively. That you know you can dwell right there with them. Though that be your enemy, that's your worst enemy. He says, don't cause your enemy to be at peace with you. You know, this is the time, right now. God's throwing a lot of us in the lion's den. Well, we got to be like Daniel. We just got to stay on his side and we stay on our side. You know, Daniel was right there in the lion's den. It didn't say that they sewed the lion's mouth up. It didn't say that Daniel did anything to the lions. Daniel rested. But what happened? That next morning, Darius called Daniel out of the lion's den. And they threw the other men in. The lions tore them and their family to shreds. So the lions were hungry. So it wasn't that God removed their hunger. It's God caused the peace between them. You see, if you scatter your spouse, more than less likely, that's who will rule over you because you're ruled by fear. And God said he hadn't given us a spirit of fear. Most guys, or most women, the torture that they're in is fear that the spouse will leave them, or fear that the children will leave them. You become a slave then. You're in bondage. Because you do everything you can to keep them. And if a person's going to go, stuff can't keep them. Their heart's not with them, with you. See, so if you're with Jesus Christ, he hadn't given us a spirit of fear. They can't hold that over you to keep you in bondage. See, we place ourselves in bondage by not loving Christ. We put them on a pedestal, and the same children we put in a pedestal turn and hurt your heart. And it's going to hurt you even more when that spouse or that child that you spend every dime on turn and curse you to your face. When they turn and walk away from you, it's going to make you want to stab them or shoot them or kill yourself. You did that because you've abandoned God, the law of sowing and reaping. He told you, place no idols before him. You've done contrary. Rebels and covenant breakers. Unthankful. Unholy. That was the aspects of us in the last days, he said. And Zedekiah didn't care about the people. God brought up on Zedekiah what he said. And he brought up on the people what he said. A lot of them died in captivity. We don't have to die here. We can live in prosperity just like Isaac did. Isaac didn't do like his father. Isaac sowed in the time of famine and reaped 100-fold. Wherever you are today, whatever comes up on the state and the nation, you can live abundantly in God's eyesight. Under the shield of the Almighty. In that fortress. If you hid in Christ, he will do just like he did Joachim. As I close, Jehoiakim, we talked about him last week. Did you hear the sermon from last week where we talked about Jehoiakim, where God had cursed him from the throne, cursed that whole line. That's why we show that it disrupted the whole thing and Christmas what it was, and it wasn't under the lens you say it was. But after 37 years, if you would read the last three verses of 2 Kings 25th chapter, you'll see that evil Murdoch came to the throne. And he lifted up the head of Jehoiachin. Jehoiachin had been just like the man that laid by the pool of Bethesda. 38 years with Jehoiachin was in prison. 38 years. Even Murdoch lifted up his head. In other words, he put him ahead of everybody else that was in prison, and he gave him his daily rations every day. Is that a king of Babylon that shows and types and shadows Jesus Christ, that day by day he gives us our daily bread? He set out the king's table above all of the rest of them as a son of David. He set out the king's table and ate those provisions. Though nobody in his family would ever rule again. Not on the throne of David, they wouldn't rule. But see, by the grace of God, he saved his life. Paul said, a lot of us will lose our rewards because we built with wood, stubble, and hay. Now, we will save our lives. Our lives will be saved. But see, I don't want to be like Lot. Lot made it out of Sodom and Gomorrah with just the clothes on his back, by the skin of his teeth. I want to be like more like Abraham. I want to have abundance. See, we don't preach a poverty gospel. We teach a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's what needs to be humble. See, to be ascetic doesn't mean to give away all your money. It doesn't mean that you walk around with no clothes and no good car, nothing. It means that you're separated from the world and you're humble and you're broken before God. You see, you're not out there like the rest of the world, going to all these luxury places and living in a private life. No, you live in a broken spirit saying, hey, I'm going to be like Christ, a man acquainted with grief and sorrow. That I know somebody else is not living this way, so I'm not going to be the kind of preacher that stands in the pulpit and tell you about my Mercedes and Bentleys and how many airplanes and jets and how much money I have, because it's people out there that's making it from day to day. You see, I don't want to lift up stuff, but I want them to learn to live right within their means, to be content with such that they have, because God know where you're at, just like you know what Jeconiah was. Heavenly Father, as you know where we're at this morning, Lord God, you know all of our trials and tribulations. We know the things that are coming up on the world, Lord God, but help us to be strong through your word. Help us to be patient. And to seek you, Lord God, to seek to find you in all things, Lord God, to seek your will and to do your word, to walk in the purposes and in our calling, Lord God. Help us to make sure of our calling, Lord God. Help us to glorify you and to do those things which we have created for in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.